Chapter 50. Lieutenant Sherman was losing men. The teams had managed to disable only two of the four guns on the top of the Rupak ship before the Rupak Marines mobilized. The subsequent firefight essentially split the top deck in two straight down the middle, with Rupak preventing the Rangers from accessing the remaining guns, and those guns preventing the Badgers from leaving for Camp Ohio. So Sherman had reduced the Badger crew even further. Now each vehicle was manned only by its driver, who would have to rely on the auto-targeting system should any Rupak return to the ship. Everyone else was in the fight. As casualties mounted, that included Sherman. Unfamiliar with the layout of the craft, his Rangers picked a lucky door to blow with their dwindling munitions and breached their way into the bridge. It was defended by more Marines, but after an intense firefight that left the Marines, the ship's captain, and two of Sherman's Rangers dead, the bridge was under the Rangers' control. Which should have meant they controlled the ship as well, only it wasn't turning out that way. Gunfire erupted from farther down the deck, where Sergeant Morales' dog-tired men were engaging the Marines in a close-quarters fight, each side doing their best to keep the other from moving. This needed to end. Sherman marched past a conference room where the captured Rupak shipmen were kept under guard. These men had surrendered to the Rangers, but the obligation to guard them kept still more of Sherman's men from the push that was needed to get the final guns down. Finally, he reached the bridge. Private Dunn from 2nd Platoon, Sergeant Stanga's squad that had been on duty at Camp Muir prior to the attack, was doing his best to work a Rupak computer system. Its Rupak operator was speaking to him in Russian, and Sherman was reminded that the private knew the language. "Private Dunn," Sherman said.
"Yes, sir,"
Dunn said, standing up from his place next to the Rupak tech. The leg of Dunn's uniform was stained with blood, and he moved with an obvious limp.
"Who's the CO?"
Dunn nodded to an officer wearing a white uniform, standing defiantly in the center of the room, arms crossed.
"He is, now that their captain is dead."
"Tell him to call on his Marines to surrender peacefully."
"Sir,"
said Sergeant Soto, who had gone ahead when the need for additional men first became apparent.
"Tried that. They aren't listening. Marines are ignoring the order."
"Wonderful," Sherman growled.
"How about the guns?"
"I asked about those too, sir," Dunn said. "They say they're controlled independently of the bridge. As long as there's a crew, they'll keep firing."
"My ass."
"I've been trying to see if I could understand their interface well enough to take over and shut things down myself."
Dunn gestured to the station next to him.
"But it's too alien for me to make anything of. I can read it okay when it says something, but it ain't an iPhone, LT. I'm lost, and the tech here, he's slow walking me. I can feel it."
"Ask for someone to show us access to the roof."
Dunn made the translation. No one moved. Sherman moved to the tech that had been sitting with Dunn. He grabbed him by the collar and hoisted him from his chair.
"Sergeant Soto, come with me."
Together, they marched the man out of the bridge and down the hall. Sherman motioned for one of his men to come and meet them, speaking over implant.
"Take this man to be held with the others. You'll hear a gunshot as you go. That'll be me. Keep the prisoner quiet."
With a puzzled look, the Ranger obeyed, hurrying the man away. Sherman drew his service pistol and fired it into a piece of furniture in a nearby lounge, then reholstered his weapon.
"Let's see if that changes any minds," he said to Soto.
The first sergeant smiled.
"You try something like that back in the day, you'd have a JAG so far up your ass that he'd know what you had for breakfast."
"No JAG officers on Amir," Sherman said.
They re-entered the room, aware of the nervous looks.
"Ask the question again, Dunn."
Dunn obeyed. Again, the crew kept quiet. In the distance, the gunfire between Ranger and Rupak Marine sounded again as each side tested the stalemate.
"Soto," Sherman said.
"Pick one."
Soto grabbed a member of the bridge crew and hauled him up. The man started babbling.
"He says he'll help," Dunn translated.
The Rupak commanding officer pointed a finger and began shouting. Soto pushed his man toward Sherman, then violently forced the CO into a seat.
"Sit down and shut up."
Sherman and Dunn took the collaborator out of the bridge. They rounded up the few injured Rangers capable of some fighting and collected what grenades and charges they had among them. It wasn't much. The big prize was a Carl Gustav with one round left. With Dunn limping slowly behind them, Sherman's ragtag team followed the Rupak tech to an access hatch not far from the holding area. Sherman held his breath, hoping the tech wouldn't see his friend alive and well, but the poor man was scared to the point of tunnel vision and looked neither to the left nor right until he'd pointed out the hatch. At Dunn's urging, the tech removed the hatch, set it aside, then pointed beyond. Dunn was in obvious pain, grunting as he spoke.
"He says there's a ladder here that will get you to the top. Maintenance hatch."
"I'll go up first," volunteered SBC Castillo.
"But tell that Rupak bitch that if this is a trap..."
Sherman watched from the bottom of the ladder as Castillo climbed. Soon, a flood of daylight filled the narrow confines of the shaft, and Castillo called out,
"All good."
"Let's go," Sherman ordered. "Dunn, take the prisoner to the holding area, and then take a break."
"Roger, LT."
Five rangers, including Castillo and Sherman, climbed the hatch and emerged topside. The hull was smooth, with the four platformed guns each taking a corner. Two had already been taken offline, but the other two were still very much active, their crews looking out beyond the edge of the ship for any badgers that might make a run for it. Sherman motioned for SBC Rosa, who had carried the recoilless rifle, to use it against the southernmost gun. He left another man behind with him and took the other two quietly across the hull toward the second gun.
"Wait to fire until I give the order," Sherman instructed.
He and his team crept toward the weapon. It was a single cannon mounted on a platform that looked to be able to rotate a full 360 degrees if needed. That it recessed into the ship, Sherman already knew from when the system first deployed. There were no viewports or other direct line of sight that he could see. The guns must rely entirely on external cams. He only hoped those weren't picking them up as they scurried across the hull.
"Here's the plan," Sherman said, getting on a knee behind the gun platform. "I don't think we can spike this thing's barrel without them seeing us. No sense losing an arm trying. So let's take what C4 we have and use it to disable the base. Can't move, can't aim. Brasher, you're up."
The men nodded, pulling security as the corporal applied the explosives.
"Got it,"
Brasher announced.
"Get clear," Sherman ordered.
They ran across the deck, putting distance between themselves and the platform.
"Rosa, fire!"
The specialist fired his Carl Gustav at the other gun, scoring a direct hit that blew a protective panel clear off the ship. The cannon dipped down, dead. The other cannon swiveled, turning either to see what happened or searching for interlopers on the roof. Sherman waited for the barrel to be aimed away from where his badgers would have to move.
"LT," Brasher said,
nervous over how close it was coming to pointing at the Rangers.
"Now," ordered Sherman.
The charges blew, almost shearing the cannon from its base. It fell over sideways, sparks popping from wires, out of the fight. Sherman contacted Captain Bosa.
"They won't have a full crew, but the badgers are inbound,"